those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From TheBlogulator.com.
This is Blogulator Radio.
Skewering and fawning over all things television for the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. I am Qualler.
I am Bridget.
And our opinions
are valid.
Think they're valid.
That was crappy. Let's try it again.
Stop saying it's crappy.
Our opinions are valid.
Who said that we have to say them all together anyway?
Because we're emulating Dr. Peace when we do that.
Oh, yeah.
So to say it the way he said it.
Dr. Peace. When is he going to be on the show?
I don't know.
When, Dr. Peace, when are you going to join us?
Dr. Peace, come back.
Why haven't we pulled you into doing an episode? I mean, why haven't you...
I guess we haven't invited him.
His schedule is probably pretty busy.
Yeah, being a doctor of peace.
Right. Right. And just being all around, he's an actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Silence. Hey, everyone. It's another Sunday episode after Thanksgiving.
Yes, it is.
We're all kind of tryptophaned out.
Getting kind of sad about going back to our regularly scheduled programming. I.e. jobs and stuff.
Life. Yeah, Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving break. It's definitely my favorite holiday overall.
Because you get a whole bunch of time off.
Yeah, you automatically get a four-day weekend, which you don't get in any other holiday.
Often a five-day weekend.
Yeah, because nobody really works that Wednesday before.
Right. Come on.
Yeah, and it encourages you to sit around and, watch TV.
And what I like the best about Thanksgiving as a holiday is that you've wrapped up all your family celebrations by Friday, and then you still have a whole weekend.
I know, that's true.
You still have a whole weekend to just...
That makes it the best.
And leftovers.
Yeah. We're here to... We'll have a kind of a special segment later on called Thanksgiving Leftovers.
Or Turkey Scraps.
Perens Turkey Scraps, as I called it. But we're gonna touch on a few... fairly new, not necessarily, not things that we're gonna recap television episodes of, but instead we're gonna go through a little what's news segment, and then we're gonna do a little development heaven and hell. We haven't done either of those in a while, so
what's new?
Let's kick off some news,
Qualler.
We need a sound bite,
what's new?
Yeah, somebody do that for us.
What a scoop.
What a scoop.
I just did it. You're welcome.
That's good. We'll use that.
Okay.
Going forward.
What a scoop.
So I think the biggest TV news that's put the Twitter sphere and the blogosphere a Twitter, if you will, is a couple of dearly beloved cult shows, Community and Cougar Town, both seem to be having some potential problems with their current networks. Community, of course, on NBC, a dearly beloved show to most. I like it. I like Community.
I like it fine.
I'm not going to go out and be one of those people that talks about that ships all of the characters together, because that's, I don't know.
That what?
Ships, you know, shipping.
Oh.
Relationship, you know what I mean?
Because we don't do fanfic.
No. Well, you do. Well, we only do that for Avatar. Mm-hmm. So you probably know this by now, but Community is not on NBC's mid-season schedule and is somewhat up in the air. It will complete its third season, but the fact that it's not on its mid-season schedule has some people believing... Or fearing that the end may be near for the show.
Dun 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 dun.
And ratings-wise, it's definitely not a hit. In fact, it's probably one of the lower-rated shows on TV in general.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I mean it is, and of course NBC, is a very low-rated network. Overall,
that's also too bad. Remember Friends?
I know.
And ER?
I know. And that's exactly the thing, is that NBC is very good at kind of mythologizing its lineup.
Uh-huh.
Whereas in reality, it hasn't had those hits for like the past 15 years or so.
Yeah, that's true, because I still feel like, well, NBC is the biggest network. I mean, Friends.
Right, Friends, ER, Seinfeld, Cheers.
Yeah.
And one thing, I guess, that as this has gone on and the more I've learned about how NBC does business, the more they do things like their, one of their, I don't know if you know this, Bridget, but one of their prior kind of strategies was called synergizing their shows, where they make a concerted effort to include cast or characters from other NBC brand shows on their other shows.
So crossovering shows?
Yeah, so
and they called that synergizing?
Yes.
Like Gem and the Hologram? Synergy?
Kind of. So, for instance, and
Synergy
actually...
Synergy was the name of the computer in Gem and the Hologram. I think she was a computer.
Okay.
She kind of helped with did all we the hologram
watch
stuff.
Some more
yeah,
Gem
I love Gem and the Holograms.
So it's a thing where, like on A Parenthood a few weeks ago, you know how Crosby and Adam. We'll have another Parenthood episode in a few weeks.
Don't worry.
Don't worry, Lauren Graham, message board.
Thanks for listening, by the way.
To us, I love you guys.
I do too.
I sincerely do. So in that Parenthood episode a few weeks ago, where CeeLo Green was a guest star, and it's like, well, also CeeLo Green is a judge on The Voice.
That's sneaky.
And you know how they're always like, even on like 30 Rock, they do this a lot, where it's like, oh, Matt Lauer is making an appearance.
Na 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 Matt Lauer.
Yeah.
Our 2-year-old nephew. Our 2-year-old nephew sings na 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 Matt Lauer.
Yeah, we have no idea where it came.
And his parents don't know why.
Yeah,
that's creepy, right?
It's very creepy.
How would you like that?
That's synergy.
That's synergy.
That's pretty good synergy, NBC. It's sons of bitches. So anyway, Community, Bridget, what do you think? Do you think 3 seasons of a show that's gets really low ratings is enough? Do you think maybe you guys should just stop asking for so much?
Or am I being heartless? Why are you asking me?
I don't know.
Do I look like an exec?
I don't know.
I think Community's a good show and it should get better ratings. And if they want to cancel something, cancel Whitney.
Well, yeah.
Or any number of other stupid shows on NBC. So
right.
I would be sad to see it go, but I'm not as big of a Community fan as, say, Chris and Jess. Drixica.
True.
So
true.
Yeah.
I'm all in favor of good shows being on TV. On the other hand, I also don't love it when shows get canceled and then people complain about it being canceled for the next 10 years and then want like a movie to wrap it up. And it's like, no, nobody. A movie is never going to be good.
Well, I don't think anything needs to be wrapped up on a show like Community, because, I mean, it's not like it's a whole lot of character.
Well, I know, but...
But maybe not. I don't know. I would be sad to see it go. I'm not a devout fan.
Right.
I'm
a little more concerned about Cougar Town on ABC, because that is also not on ABC's mid-season schedule yet. And ABC, unlike NBC, has actually come out and said they will be on a later mid-season schedule, but what was originally going to be a 22-episode third season is now only going to be a 15-episode season. And I'm a little more worried about that show's fate, specifically because it was on Wednesday nights, and all of the shows on Wednesday nights on ABC are doing pretty well, creatively and ratings-wise, and there might not be room for Cougar Town. Well, there probably won't be on Wednesday nights anymore, and their only other logical place to put it would be on Tuesdays after the Tim Allen show, which...
What?
clearly
I'm
the...
I'm sorry, back... Back up.
Okay.
There's a Tim Allen show?
Yeah.
And it's called Tim Allen Show?
No, it's called Last Man Standing.
Oh, okay. Because, wow.
And Cougar Town I really, really do love a lot. So that's a show... I mean, I'm glad that they're not totally canceling it, but it's really, really funny. everyone.
It is really funny, everyone. And also, I think maybe instead of ratings, because, like, who cares about ratings these days? What with your on-demand and your DVR?
Right.
And don't even tell me how they factor that in.
Right.
Like, why don't you just go with, like, critically acclaimed or something?
Yeah, that's what that's the HBO model.
Right.
If every channel were just HBO,
so then what you're saying is that fine. All of television should be privatized?
Yeah.
It kind of already is.
Kinda. So that's all.
We're conservative.
Sad. Right.
We're not.
No.
Wait, what? I don't want to alienate anyone.
No, we're totally politically neutral.
What's everyone's a political? Great.
I don't even know. So there's on AV Club, Todd Vanderwerf wrote a good write up though about why 5 reasons why Community probably will still see a 4th season. So
there we go.
It's probably all much ado about nothing.
Or he's a filthy liar.
Yeah, Todd Vanderwerf, you son of a bitch.
Are you lying to us?
He seems like a liar.
So that's what's news in terms of what might be canceled or not be canceled.
Yeah, speaking of
what else is news?
Culty shows, Arrested Development.
Yeah.
I think this is actually true, finally.
Don't be a dirty liar.
Is that they actually, for real, are going to make new episodes of Arrested Development for Netflix. And I still don't know for sure, though, that this is a real, actual news story. So
Rumor has it.
So...
Groomer has it.
Right. So, I mean, there are lots of articles that say Netflix to back Arrested Development to return on Netflix. So I guess it's true, but I mean they still haven't. All they've done is said.
Well, if you found articles on the internet,
right? Those never lie. All they've said is that there will be new episodes. They haven't said when. I guess there actually is a press release from Ron Howard, so that makes it seem more real, and that it's beginning in 2013, so that's a realistically far out in, out of the way, but happening at some point, mm-hmm. Timeline. And what, the thing that kind of worries me a little bit, creatively, is that
worries me.
Right, is the talk that the episodes will be like a whole episode about what maybe he's been up to, or one whole episode of what what's the dumb one's name?
Well, what are they gonna do about the fact that they Buster. The fact that they've all like aged a whole bunch?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't really care for Michael Cera these days.
Yeah, he was the worst part of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
He grew up weird.
I know.
Which was a pretty good movie, but...
It was a good movie, but he was creepy.
He's creepy.
He's a creep.
Yeah.
You're a creep, Michael Cera.
I don't know why. Like, there's just... I think it's his voice.
Yeah. Because it's like you're like 20-something, and you still kind of talk like that. But
maybe you should go on the hater caller.
Maybe I should. Bring back the hater. Why isn't anybody clamoring to bring hater back?
Hater.
On CW. So Arrested Development, you're coming back.
We'll see how that goes.
Sort of. So, good. And then I guess we can actually move this one down to the next level, don't you think, Bridget?
So
let's start a new
segment. Okay. What's news.
This last item is now the first item of Development Heaven or Hell.
So what's our last piece of news that brings us into Development Heaven or Hell?
Sarah Silverman is doing a pilot for NBC.
Is the Sarah Silverman show still on?
No.
My parents loved that show.
Which weird until you get to meet your parents.
Yeah, but it kind of made me not want to watch it.
But it's funny.
Because when my mom would tell me something that happened on the Sarah Silverman show, like, she would, like, relay a scene to me.
Uh-huh.
And, like, so it's not funny because retelling something like that is never funny anyway.
When your mom retells you a scene of anything.
Right.
But Not your mom specifically, but your
when
mom
one's mother,
in general.
Well, and when anyone. I mean, even, like, I don't know why you people are listening to us, because when I sit here and talk about the 5 minutes that happened and it was really cool, like, it always sounds
just
lame.
Just watch it, jerks.
It always
why
sounds
are you listening
lame.
To this? I mean, you should
be keep listening. We're cool.
Please.
But, no, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I
hear you.
Yeah, there's a lot more that we're doing here, but whenever we get into, like, now we feel like we have to, like, recap something or, like, explain what happened in the scene to talk about it, it always feels weird. Because it's always like, but it was really cool, and what I just said was really stupid, so...
Well, I feel like when we do it about something like parenthood, it's like we are talking about our family who...
Okay, we don't have to get into... My point is, Sarah Silverman show I couldn't watch. I wonder... So what's the new pilot about?
Do you think she's funny, though?
Yeah, I think she's
funny. It's about Sarah Silverman being a...
I think she's a little crass.
Well, it's...
I don't always care for the language.
Right. I mean, it's a single cam sitcom.
But she's so cute.
So eat your heart out, Whitney. She too, like Whitney Cummings, has brown hair. And mm-hmm. is a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
So that in itself makes her basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's also a woman. Because
there are two kinds of women.
Right. Blonde ones.
Pretty ones and brunettes.
Right. Right, right, right.
So what's it about?
Well, it sounds like it's just based partially on her life. So it's probably just a lot like every show that's surrounded... That's about a stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm. So kind of like a Louis, but with her and on NBC.
Yeah, I mean, the best case Louis and worst case Whitney. I mean, I feel like that's kind of the spectrum.
Whitney isn't about a comedian. She's not a comedian. She doesn't play a comedian.
True.
So true.
Well, let's see. So
worst case Seinfeld. Wait, what?
Wait, whoa!
Well, he plays a comedian and he's not funny.
Right, but it's a funny show.
All right, so anyway.
So, Sarah Silverman, sitcom, NBC.
Where do we want to put it? Development, heaven, or hell?
You know, it's so early that they haven't even made the pilot yet, much less ordered it to series. But my guess is NBC needs anything it can get.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah Silverman is pretty popular. It's probably going to be... I mean, I like Sarah Silverman. I think she's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a much better sitcom star than Whitney Cummings would be. Not that we need to compare them, but you got to look at NBC, what they ordered. They pushed Whitney really, really hard. It's now people have come to realize that it's a really terrible show, which is good.
Good work, people.
And I think NBC has realized that, too, since they're moving it to Wednesdays to go die against ABC's sitcom slate. And I think, what else is on it? There's The X Factor. I think that's on Wednesdays or something.
Ugh.
I don't know.
Remind me how that's different from American Idol.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's for Chris and Jess to watch for us. I don't know. It's probably going to be good, because I like Sarah Silverman.
I'll put it in purgatory for now.
Purgatory? Okay. Yeah.
Is coming up?
Well, there's a show on Fox that will be premiering mid-season.
And I'm already going to put it in development heaven.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think that you would think this
would work. Yeah, I'm going to like it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's called Touch. Mm-hmm. It's on Fox. It's from the producers of Heroes,
mm-hmm.
Tim Kring, who... produced Heroes for a long time, starring the Keef, I call him, Kiefer Sutherland,
yeah.
which I guess...
That's why it's in heaven for me.
Really? I guess Kiefer Sutherland being on a new drama series on Fox is him admitting that a 24 movie is not actually going to happen.
You think so? What, he can't do two things at once?
Well, I don't think a 24 movie would ever... have worked. We watched that. There was that one made for TV 24 movie that was really boring.
Wasn't he like in Africa or something?
Yeah. And that was kind of boring. And it didn't have the same propulsion as a season of 24.
24 was a stupid show. Let's just call it like it is.
It wasn't.
It was also racist and pretty sexist.
Well, it was entertaining.
It was. As long as it's entertaining, it doesn't matter.
And it wasn't always
fighting terrorists. It was always racist. It was a racist show. Anyone out there disagree with me?
You're being just like that guy, that video that we watched on the Duggar family website.
No, I am not being just like him.
Kind of.
Wow.
Speaking of Kiefer Sutherland, we watched Melancholia this weekend,
yes.
The new Lars von Trier movie, and Kiefer Sutherland has a pretty big role in it.
And he's pretty
which
good.
Which I was surprised.
We were all surprised.
Yeah.
Good work, Keef.
Yeah.
The Keef. Go, Keef.
So, Touch.
Sounds like Queef.
It does. I know. I keep almost saying that. So,
So he's got a little boy, mm-hmm. Who doesn't speak,
mm-hmm.
but is narrating the trailer. Mm-hmm. I mean, the trailer is already...
Oh, yeah. Top 10 trailer of all time. Maybe. Probably not.
No, that was ridiculous. Why would you say that?
I know.
I was just going to say good.
Hyperbole.
I was just going to say good.
It's called hyperbole.
Oh, you're kind of...
Whoa.
Is this because I don't like 24?
Because you said it's a bad show. It's not a bad show.
It is a bad show.
All right. Whatever. All right. Go ahead. We all have our opinions.
Mm-hmm. And mine are valid.
Sure.
A little boy, Kiefer Sutherland is the father of this boy who's maybe, I don't know, 7 or 10. I have no idea how old kids are. I'm going to be upfront about that.
And
somewhere between 2 and... 30.
And as an aside, autistic kids are, like, so the rage on TV shows.
Right. Well, they haven't said exactly that he's autistic, but you know how...
He's mute.
On television, they don't really understand necessarily what autism is, except for...
On Parenthood.
Parenthood. They do a really good job with that. But sometimes they'll be like, oh, he's weird. He's probably autistic or something. Mm-hmm. And also, that means magic. So,
right.
This kid is, I think, magic autistic. And
yeah.
So he doesn't speak at all, and he's really into these patterns, and
mm-hmm.
the little boy narrates the what do we call it? Do we call it a trailer?
Yeah, it's a trailer. Yeah.
And
what did we decide? Was that Danny Glover?
I think it was Danny Glover.
Let's find out. Research, crack research team. Yeah, so,
So, Kiefer Sutherland, father of a little boy who does not speak or communicate or anything, but, who starts to... try to communicate to him, they think, through making all these different patterns. Kiefer Sutherland, the father, starts to recognize the patterns and do things according to the patterns. I don't really understand, but it all seems kind of ridiculous and far-fetched and wonderful. So yeah, Danny Glover.
Danny Glover's in it. That's awesome.
That's confirmed. It also looks like, according to IMDb.com, there is a 24.
Yeah, 24
that's
movie
in pre-production. So look who.
2013.
Look
well, okay.
There you go.
All right.
So don't worry, we're still going to be hunting.
Fair enough.
Terrorists.
I am super excited.
We know
for
they're
it.
Terrorists because they look different than us.
Okay. There was that one episode where the Arab people helped Jack Bauer.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Anyway, so you're putting this in heaven.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Wow. Okay.
I am too. I think it's gonna be hilarious.
I just didn't think it would be.
What?
Well, yeah. I kind of like gentle Kiefer Sutherland
because
in this show it appears that he's like a dad,
mm-hmm.
and he's instead of wearing like. A button-up, like, dress shirt to go, like, shoot people, like, on 24, he wears, like a denim shirt,
mm-hmm.
which tells us that he's nice. And rather than, like, you know how he has, like, two modes of acting, basically,
uh-huh.
which, similar to, like, Dylan McDermott also has two modes of acting, but his are whispering and shouting,
mm-hmm.
and... I guess, actually, Kiefer Sutherland's two modes are kind of the same.
Well, it's a subtle difference. Instead of, like... Instead of just changing in volume, his voice kind of changes in intensity.
Yes.
Which I
yes.
know sounds like the same thing,
yes.
but it's not.
It's true. Yeah, yeah. Dylan McDermott has a volume differentiation,
mm-hmm.
whereas Kiefer Sutherland has an intensity differentiation.
Yeah.
That's... Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. Because I don't think the volume of his voice ever changes.
No, but somehow his intensity does.
Yeah. Oh, man, I love you, Keith.
I do, too.
You're the man.
So Touch on Fox, going in heaven.
And the trailer is on YouTube, so just look it up. It's coming this spring. And I hope it replaces Terra Nova, because Everyone hates Terranova. They don't hate Terranova.
No, and there were supposed to be dinosaurs and stuff. It was supposed to be wonderful.
There are dinosaurs.
I know, but boring dinosaurs.
That's all, it's boring. And then finally, in development, Heaven and Hell, HBO is continuing to develop shows starring actors that everyone... you can't find any faults with these actors, and they're always all based on books that are universally beloved. This new one, Ewan McGregor just joined the cast of this pilot. I think it's still a pilot, along with Diane Wiest and Chris Cooper on a drama called The Corrections, which is based on a Jonathan Franzen novel. So it's very, very highbrow.
I've never heard of Jonathan Franzen.
Yeah, he's an author.
All right.
He writes stuff. So I'm gonna put this in Heaven, just knowing.
I put it in Heaven just because of Diane Weiss's involvement.
Right.
Is that crazy?
Oh, I love her. She's great.
You said that weird.
I know.
I love her.
I love her. I guess the thing that I wanted to say about this in general is, I wish HBO wouldn't develop so many shows based on pre-existing material as they do lately. I miss the days when it was like The Sopranos, which doesn't exist in any other way, or
6 Feet Under.
Yeah, or Six Feet Under, or
those were books or something, weren't they?
Yeah, I think those started as books. But like Deadwood, which it was based on historical times, but it was a wholly original show. And I understand that, you know, Luck is a show that's coming up in January that is a wholly original show and by David Milch and who did Deadwood. And Tremé obviously is a wholly original. But those two shows are kind of, I feel like those are shows that HBO is saying, you showrunners are obvious geniuses that we want to continue working with, and we don't care what it is. You can do whatever you want. It can be as low rated as we want, or as it can be, and we don't care because it brings us prestige. I feel like they're not really in the business of finding a new up and coming showrunner and a new television specific vision. You know, that's not really what they're in business for anymore.
I see what you're saying.
So, I mean, I'm sure it'll be good.
So what you're saying is, HBO, maybe you should give our pilot a chance. We've Grief sent Busters. You a lot of copies.
Yeah, did you get... Did you get
them?
Did you get them? Just a yes or no would be nice.
Yeah, thanks. So we're going to put that in Heaven, The Correction. So three things in development Heaven.
You put Sarah Silverman in Purgatory.
Yeah, that's true. I was just going to say, if we had to rank the three things, I would put Sarah Silverman at the bottom. Touch in the middle, and Corrections at top, on the top. In terms of what I'm most likely to watch and enjoy.
Sure. All right. Fair enough. So should we talk about our turkey scraps?
Turkey scraps. Thanksgiving leftovers. So Thanksgiving is a time to be with family.
Right.
We're going to talk too much just about Thanksgiving, because Chris and Jerxica,
they talked about things they were thankful for.
Yeah.
And what we're here for is to talk about the hangover that's left from the actual holiday.
Right. Oh, turkey scraps.
So So we watched a whole heck
of a lot of TV. We watched
a lot of TV,
because that's what my family does.
I love your family for that.
Yeah, me too.
It's great.
That's what I'm thankful for, I guess.
Yeah.
Television and my family's willingness to watch it.
Right.
Instead of, you know, talking to each other. No, just kidding. We talk. Love you, Mom and Dad. So the first thing that we all watched together over Thanksgiving weekend at my parents' house was the Woody Allen documentary on American Masters on PBS. Originally aired on American Masters. Mm-hmm. Well, we watched it on PBS's
online website. And it online, aired last Sunday and Monday. So it was on fairly recently.
Yeah.
3.5 hours long.
And I would give it... what's the highest number of stars?
I don't know.
Five? Four? What's Netflix go up to?
Netflix goes to five.
I would give it 5 stars on Netflix.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was really good. Really and interesting. The whole family enjoyed it. We're all Woody Allen fans.
Right. It helps to
and
be...
And, of course, he's notorious. Oh, yeah, it helps to be a Woody Allen fan. I don't know that... If you don't already care about Woody Allen, you probably won't care about this documentary.
And, like, 'cause there was nothing, 3.5 hours is probably pretty long.
And there's nothing, like, spectacular about it in terms of it... as a documentary film.
Right.
But
it's very revealing because Woody Allen is not a guy who lets himself... He doesn't give very many interviews about himself or about his career or anything like that. He's actually pretty reclusive.
So I think he finally maybe is starting to feel, you know, old father time.
Right.
Coming knocking at his door.
Right, right.
And, you know, he's probably not super long for this world.
I'm not saying
a matter of years, but, you know.
Although we learned that his father and mother both lived to 96 and 100.
So
he could be around for another 25 years.
And he's making good... it's usually hit or miss, but, you know, and he gets a lot of flack for his newer movies not being as good. But, yeah, like you pointed out, Qualler, you know, maybe 1 in 3 of his movies that he releases is great.
I feel
that's still pretty good, yeah. Considering how many movies he releases. And we saw Midnight in Paris, his most recent release, and we really liked that a lot. Vicky Cristina Barcelona came out a couple years ago, and that was really good. But anyway, it was interesting learning about his life.
And your dad enjoyed all the old clips of him on talk shows.
That's true.
We learned that your dad would, if he was on a talk show, he would watch it.
Just to see Woody Allen.
Just to see Woody Allen.
Yeah. So, it's funny to think of him having been around that long and him being, like, a comedian before he was started making movies like Annie Hall. Or even before he started making movies, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even though it was kind of, it interviewed Woody Allen for the documentary, it was still fairly objective about him. It didn't say, you know, they didn't sugarcoat
his
life.
Well, I don't know. They didn't interview Mia Farrow at all.
Well, I don't think Mia Farrow would have participated in it.
Really?
Well, I'm sure she doesn't talk about him now at all.
At all? She won't even?
No. No.
They didn't interview Sun Yi.
Yeah, I think Sun Yi is a very private person. Yeah. I mean, whatever. Have your weird relationship. I don't really care, Woody Allen. You know, you're a good filmmaker.
Yeah, I care a little bit. It's a little creepy.
It's creepy.
But
it was very, very good documentary.
It was more about his life as a filmmaker than his life personally.
Right.
So.
And I learned things about his filmmaking style that I didn't know before, even as a Woody Allen cinephile.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it has enough clips of his films in it to keep you interested and kind of, if in some ways I think you could watch it and kind of gain a better understanding of his whole work and maybe get you interested in watching more of his films in general. You know, that talks a lot about, you know, there's a big section in it about Manhattan, which I think is a really great film.
Mm-hmm.
And talks about, I didn't know that Stardust Memories was so derided when it came out, but apparently it was.
Mm-hmm.
And of course Hannah and Her Sisters is great, and Crimes and Misdemeanors is great, and they talk about those movies quite a bit.
It was also, as most PBS documentaries are, it was just really pleasant. And, like, we could kind of... So it was really long, and we had it on, and we kind of napped to it a little bit as a family. And
but it's like, oh, I can nap through this section about Annie Hall, because I know a lot about Annie Hall. Whereas I was like, oh, I want to hear more about his deconstructing Harry time.
So it's just really kind of pleasant. And that's what we started out our weekend with. We also watched the ABC Wednesday Night lineup,
which is The Middle, Suburgatory, Modern Family, and Happy Endings right now.
Right, and so, you know, there's...
And Revenge is on after that, but we're behind.
So,
anyway.
And it's always fun to watch the shows that my parents really love, and I have to say, they really love The Middle. I feel like everyone's parents really love the middle. Your parents like it, right?
Yeah, Waller? My parents love the middle.
Love it. They love it. Whenever we bring up any show, I feel like almost any time that television has come up with them in the last, like, how long has that show been on?
Year and a half.
So in the last year and a half, whenever TV comes up, they will inevitably ask us, "Do you guys watch the middle?"
Yeah.
Our answer
is the same every time as
no.
Yeah.
It's no, we don't watch it.
Well, I've watched it before.
I had never seen an episode before.
I don't go out of my way to watch it, but it's a funny show.
I had never seen an episode before. It was fine.
I don't know.
It was fine. It was funny that I think during the middle, at some point one of my brothers said all TV shows that are on now or all sitcoms are Scrubs.
Yeah, well, your brothers are also, like, 16, 20. They're young.
I'm just saying it was an interesting...
But it is true.
Yeah.
It's true. So, I didn't mean to... Age ain't nothing.
It was a little bit Sorry. Scrubs.
Well, every show on ABC is a little bit Scrubs because every show on ABC is... single cam with quirky music to tell you that it's a joke.
Right.
Okay. So, in the way... So, yes, a lot of shows are similar to Scrubs.
So you liked The Middle? Would you ever watch it again?
Yeah, it's funny. I like What's-Her-Face from Everybody Loves Raymond. I think she's funny in it.
Yeah, she's
funny. The janitor from Scrubs is funny in it.
Mm-hmm.
The kids, they're all funny.
Passing.
It makes me smile.
Molly Shannon was in this week's episode.
And Chris Kattan.
Yeah. Really? Chris Kattan?
Yeah.
Really? Who was he?
He was like a creepy brother.
Oh.
Kinda.
I didn't notice.
I don't know. I mean, it's funny.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a funny show.
It's fine. Sure.
What about Suburgatory?
I thought that was pretty okay.
That's also pretty funny.
I like, what's his name? Billy from 6 Feet Under.
Jeremy Sisto.
He's hot. But it's
even
weird.
As a dad,
yeah. And okay, so I was like, oh, I like that guy, and then we were watching it. My mom had not seen Suburgatory, and she said, oh, is that his wife or something, to the teenage daughter? And I said, mm-hmm. No, it's his daughter. So Jeremy Sisto doesn't look like the dad of a teenage girl,
right?
And yeah, it was fine. It was kind of funny.
What do you think? And Cheryl Hines, of course.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I think it's I enjoy it as much as The Middle, which is
Yeah, so if we're ever around again on a Wednesday night at my parents' house, I won't object to that.
Yeah.
I had some giggles.
Right.
A few.
Right. Modern Family.
Modern Family. I love Modern Family. I think it's super funny. I have not been watching it this season at all just because of, like, my schedule not matching up and then ABC not putting their families on demand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
on our
their episode, their TV demands. Shows on our, yeah, so we don't get ABC on demand at all, do we?
No, I mean, we could always hook up our computer and watch on Hulu, but
yeah, we could, but it's too long. So I guess I don't love Modern Family that much. But
I
was excited actually to be around when Modern Family was about to be on because I'd missed it, and I know that there's always the trope of like, oh, everything's resolved itself and we're a happy family. And my brothers said that they like Modern Family, but they hate the character of, the mom, the blonde.
Really?
Mom? What's her name?
Claire.
Claire, yeah, Claire that Dumpy. They hate her character.
Well, okay.
And I was like, okay.
What do they hate about her?
That she's a woman and she's allowed to act on television.
That's what I thought.
No, I don't know, that she's a... stick in the mud and it's always like
that's called comedy. You need to have a Claire to the Phil to make the Phil funny, and Claire is funny
too.
Yeah,
but it also okay, so you have to have a Phil in the Claire to the Claire, but Claire to the Phil, but like it does kind of fall into the whole knocked up gender thing that makes me angry, where it's like the men just want to have fun and be silly, and the women are always standing there with sour looks on their faces and their arms folded across their chest.
I know.
So she falls a little bit into that role.
Yeah.
But she has her moments where she gets to be funny, too.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's fair to say that she's totally like that. I mean, there's certainly moments like that, but yeah, she's also has a lot of funny moments.
Yeah.
And then Happy Endings.
I didn't watch that one.
Yeah, I like Damon Wayans Jr. a lot in it. I like Casey Wilson in it a lot. I like
Sounds dirty. Is it dirty?
No. No, it's basically, like, as Chris said, this is a perfect description. It's perfect couples from NBC, but funny. So, yeah, and I think that's very... I think that's actually a compliment, because I think Perfect Couples is a show that had a decent setup, but didn't quite execute, whereas this, I feel like, the cast is really funny, and it's got kind of the Better Off Ted... zany humor thing that going for it, which is fun. Damon Wayans Jr. is really funny, actually.
Yeah.
And the ladies on the show are all funny. Even Eliza Cuthbert from 24 is surprisingly, really? She's funny.
Cool.
Yeah. So I can't begrudge it just because it's doing better than Cougar Town.
Right,
is,
I guess.
It's ABC's problem that they have more hit shows than they have time slots, whereas NBC would probably...
Poor ABC. Oh, what do we do with all these hit shows?
Right.
Oh, I can't fit them all in. We have too many fans.
Exactly.
You think they say that, like,
probably
to NBC?
Probably just as assholes, yeah. At the network parties that they have. Like, I'm not saying the network, like stars, but the parties where specifically where the logos... the station logos hang out.
Right, that's what I'm imagining.
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, hey, NBC, how's it going?
Like a translucent, like, ABC symbol, like, walks in.
With little
into,
legs
like, the
and
peacock
arms.
And is like, oh, hey, NBC, seems like you guys are having a little trouble over there, or,
anything we can do?
I imagine the CBS logo is just, like, in the corner watching.
Right. Eating, like, a... healthy choice meal for one.
Right.
Maybe this happens in the break room. Maybe
right.
All the logos.
The CBS logo is probably the one that keeps the meals for one section at your local grocer in business. I'm going to say yeah.
Maybe this is the pilot we should pitch.
The logos?
Yeah.
Just, let's call it logos.
It's called logos.
Okay.
But like not. But people will think it's like ethos, pathos, and logos, but it's not.
Right. Yeah,
it's logo,
no, it's actually
logos.
About what do logos do when at night when you're all asleep?
Yeah.
I imagine they wake up, like the show, do you remember Today's Special?
I love Today's Special.
Oh, yeah, where like the department store comes to life at
But
night.
I don't think it should even be like that. It should be like more like a Cars, like so like an alternate universe where like they just talk to each other.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of bizarre, strange ideas, it was a very strange idea, ABC, speaking of ABC, to have a very gaga Thanksgiving on Thursday nights.
Now, this is something we had in common with your parents, because
they also
separately
watched
a very gaga Thanksgiving,
right.
And seems like your dad kind of enjoyed it, and they
yeah.
liked
well. I just...
I like that Lady Gaga is sort of reaching out to the baby boomers. That's what it seems like she's doing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know you're totally scared of me, but like...
Right. It's okay. I can sing with Tony Bennett.
Right.
And I'm still not totally clear whether it was like a genuine special or like if there was like some kind of postmodern edge to it.
I think the postmodern edge was that it was... Was what you just described?
That it was a Lady
that we
Gaga
don't that we don't know whether it was a genuine special because what is a genuine special?
True.
Because postmodernity is just your lens through which you view the same thing.
True.
It doesn't mean that. So yeah.
It's fair.
Yeah.
So I think my favorite part was when she was helping. She was hanging out with a group of third graders
at like Sacred
Heart
or
doing
elementary
crafts,
school.
Yeah. Thanksgiving crafts, and asking them what their favorite Thanksgiving food was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was weird. It was strange because it was so boring, kind of. But it was also, it was Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
And love that, you, lady.
And that's what's postmodern about it.
Right. So that's why, that's...
Or I don't know if it's even postmodern, but it's Dada.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't know, it's something.
Yeah.
I liked it. I like you, Lady Gaga, and I like Thanksgiving, and I like the more, very Gaga Thanksgiving.
The more Gaga specials that we can have like that, like a very Gaga 4th of July, like, that would be great.
Very Gaga Christmas.
Right.
So, we watched that on Thanksgiving night. Was that on Thanksgiving night, or was that on Wednesday night?
It was on Thanksgiving night.
Okay. In the meantime, while we were helping bake some pies and then the next day helping to eat some leftover pies, we were watching a whole lot of Law & Order SVU on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot of Cheers on Netflix.
Oh, man.
And a whole lot of... That was a good sound,
yeah,
ladies and
gentlemen. Sorry.
And a whole lot of Vampire Diaries on Netflix.
Yes, yes.
So I know this has been kind of an ongoing thing, and you're probably bored with it, but that's fine. Convincing me to like the Vampire Diaries.
What did you say this afternoon, Bridget, unprompted, about Vampire Diaries?
I don't remember. What did I say?
You said, this is really good.
It is really good. I like it. I'm totally, completely, 100% on board with Vampire Diaries.
Mm.
Having said that, I will still point out the many similarities that Vampire Diaries has to elements of True Blood. Characters and mythology and etc. However,
I think it has more fun with it than...
Yeah, well, what I like to think, and I don't know if this actually works for the timeline or what, but I'm going to pretend what happened was Kevin Williamson was sitting at home and he watched like a season of True Blood and he said, you know what, I think I can do this better, and he did. So they do have more fun with it than True Blood. I'm okay with the similarities because I imagine it's Kevin Williamson being winky, as he was always winky when he was writing Dawson's Creek, because he knows... Because his character is... I always appreciate that Kevin Williamson characters exist in a world where... And Scream is like this, too, where other all the pop culture things that the people watching the show also exist in. Right?
Yeah,
so, his characters know Twilight, and his characters would know, like... know about all this vampire stuff going on. And
even, like, the rule, like, they are constantly having conversations amongst themselves about the vampire rules and why, like, why is Damon eating a cheeseburger? And he's like, well, because I like food.
Right.
Like, it's just, like, I love that they just, like, dispense with, like, any complex rules and are just, like, who the hell cares?
Right. I also like that there are witches.
Mm-hmm.
I also love Damon.
Ian Somerhalder.
He's awesome.
He's really awesome.
You are awesome.
As your mom pointed out, just everything he says is just really funny.
Right, yeah.
And it's just like...
Yeah, my mom loves
evil,
him.
He's evil, but he's like... But he's not real evil, but he's kind of bad. He's pretty bad.
He's pretty bad.
He's a pretty bad character, but
he's
extremely likable.
Yeah.
Because just even, like, the faces that he makes, just, like, it's just great.
Yeah.
And I'm even starting to not hate Stefan, even though he's still kind of boring.
I kind of hate Stefan, but I like that they have... I like that the show seems more self-aware about Stefan being hateful.
Yeah.
So in addition to, like... Or hateful? No.
Hateful?
Hateable?
Hateable.
Whatever. And so in addition to kind of comparing the show to True Blood... Qualler and I have been watching a lot of Dawson's Creek on DVD.
Well, let's go back. Can we talk about... Finish.
So, it's also interesting to kind of see the comparisons one could make between Dawson's Creek and Vampire Diaries. So, Stefan, who's, like, kind of easy to be like, Stefan, just lighten up about yourself in the world. He's obviously the Dawson Leary character.
Mm-hmm.
Damon. Damon, because that's not a name. Damon.
D-A-M-O-N. Sure it is.
No, Damien is a name.
Donnie Damon. It's a last name. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
He's sort of the pacey.
Yeah.
And then we have,
Elena,
who's obviously the Joey.
Right. But although, it's like if Dawson's Creek were a show centered around Joey instead of Dawson.
It kind of was a show centered around Joey, actually.
Well,
that's the thing about
Dawson's Creek. As it got
No, I would say even from the first season, it was always really about Joey.
Really?
Would you agree with me, Dawson's Creek fans?
I would.
That's for another day. That's for another day.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Kevin Williamson seems totally in his element, because it's like, yeah, Dawson's Creek always should have had magical stuff happening, because it's... kind of outlandish, like, as you know, in terms of like, this is not very, it's not like realistic.
Right.
Same with Scream.
Right.
But like, I mean, it seems perfect. It seems like this is the show he was always meant to do.
Right. And from a, and because he was always really good at horror things.
Right. And it's one super thing, scary. That's the other thing. Yeah. Qualler and I were watching it this afternoon and noticing like, not only is this a pretty good show, but this is like super scary stuff is happening and it's pretty
right
genuinely
when
like,
Elena
creepy.
Elena and Bonnie and
it's really effective.
Blondie what's her face?
Caroline
have a seance together and that particular episode was I was creeped out. It was really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And genuinely creepy, which not very many shows, including American Horror Story.
That's genuinely creepy. They're
that
scary.
That has moments where it's like, all right, this is creepy, but more moments where it's just kind of going crazy, you know?
Okay, well.
But I do also like the fact that, especially, we're kind of in the part of season one now where things are happening that I've read a lot about are kind of signature things of the show, which is, like, so many people getting stabbed and shot, like, all the time. And yet, it never feels like overkill. And it always, so far, it's always felt, like, surprising.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of episodes where it's like, oh, shit! You know, it's...
There is a lot of murder in this small town. But I feel like the fun, or the, like, kind of good way that the show deals with that in a way that makes it okay for me by having this other conspiracy happening where there are officials in the town that know about the vampires and are kind of covering it up.
Right.
So that makes it, like, okay. So it's, like...
And as you pointed out, Bridget, it's another element that is a Kevin Williamson signature move is a corrupt cop and a reporter...
Oh, yeah. Did we talk about this last time?
An ambitious reporter. I don't know.
I think maybe we did. One thing that I really like about Vampire Diaries, too, is that, well, obviously my mom loves it, but also my dad really likes it, and my dad has watched every episode with her, and when we were at their house, we were kind of watching from the point that we were at on Netflix, which is still in season one,
mm-hmm.
and my dad came in and was like, oh, we've already seen this episode, and... my dad was the one who I think pointed out that they're constantly having Founders Day parties in this small town.
Out.
Oh, you pointed that out? Okay. But then my dad was, or you guys were kind of saying that, yeah, it's kind of silly that, like, people are always dying, and then the next night it's like, where's the giant party tonight?
Well, what I pointed out is every episode seems to be structured as they wake up, and then a whole bunch of crazy shit happens, and then they all go to their respective homes and, like, have, like, a look on their face that was like, well, that sure was a crappy day. And then it's like, the next morning, we're all cool with everything.
And there are a lot of parties.
Yeah, but it's good. And what else is good is Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
We finished the second season over Thanksgiving, which is also on Netflix.
And it gets really sad.
Yeah, I never
like Sam and Diane's
knew.
Breakup. Holy cow!
Yeah, I never knew that. Like, that the show could make you so sad
mm-hmm.
because the Sam and Diane relationship, like, they're so not really meant to be together, and you know that they both like want love, and yet like they're just not the right match, mm-hmm. you know. So, like, the episode...
And it's good that the show saw that. Like, I appreciate that they
right.
let them get together and break up, and that the show went on for, like, 9 more seasons.
Right.
Also, here's, like, a little thing Kevin Williamson to watch out for. Or maybe it was on purpose that it was a mistake, because Pacey was really the one who said the line. But
mm-hmm.
in season 2 of Dawson's Creek...
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it in season 2 of Dawson's Creek where Pacey said something like, even Sam and Diane didn't get together until, like, the 6th season?
Oh, yeah.
So, no, it was the first season.
Yeah, continuity problems.
But maybe that was a joke he was making because Joey and Dawson also got together in the first season.
Maybe.
And you think it's going to take a lot longer, but it
right.
actually happened pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure Kevin Williamson knew. He knows his shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I never knew that the show could be so sad, which makes the funny moments so much more funny and so much more meaningful. But it's just, like, amazing how good the show was. Yeah, that second season finale, where, spoiler alerts, they break up was just, like, just heartbreaking. And that's the episode where they famously twist each other's noses, and apparently that was back in the when Bridget and I were babies, literally. That was like a big TV moment that everyone was talking about. And the episode where Coach's friend died, and they have a party or like a memorial service at Cheers, and then Coach finds out that his buddy was trying to cheat on his wife, or he was trying to basically sleep with his wife, until he finds out later that he did that to all the guys, and Coach is about to give an impassioned I hate this guy speech at his memorial, and instead talks about, oh, Bridget has a sad piece of hair that's sticking out. She's pointing at me with her hair.
Don't stop it. Don't tell them that. They can't see me.
I know. Blah, blah, blah. Diane leads a rendition of Amazing Grace, and it's all very moving.
Yeah, and Cheers. I think Cheers
is
good.
And here's the thing, is like, when Cheers ends an episode with like with just a line that doesn't garner a laugh from the audience, like, that's always so powerful. Like the episode in season two where the scale comes to the bar and they argue over what the fortunes tell them in the scale, and it ends on a line that is kind of ambiguous. Like, it's so powerful when there's no laughter at the end of an episode, you know?
Yeah. Cheers, good.
I feel like that's that's the thing that Cheers and even Vampire Diaries does well, is they know, like, how to end an episode. In Cheers' case, they end with the executive producer produced by James Burrows, Les Charles, and Glenn Charles. And the Vampire Diaries ends episodes with the Vampire Diaries in the way that Lost ended its episodes with Lost.
Yeah.
I have no idea where that was going. But
I don't know. I'm starting to get tired. I still got all those turkey scraps in me, making me tired.
Well, and we'll talk about Dawson's Creek in a later episode, but
we've been watching a lot of it.
Suffice to say, I've finally been watching Dawson's Creek from the beginning and paying attention to it. And
do you love it?
I do. I love it. It's a genuinely great show.
Season two, not as good as season one.
Season
one is like almost like teen drama perfection achieved.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely got its like cheesy moments, but
it almost had no place to go but down.
Right.
After season one, because season one seemed so perfect.
And then the beginning of season two is very, very down compared to season one.
Yeah.
Because it almost feels like it's like a totally different show once Joey and Pacey get together. Joey and Dawson get together.
And I think a lot of people left between seasons one and season two. Like, a producer.
Yeah, Charles Rosen, who worked on Beverly Hills 90210, was a producer on season one and then wasn't after that. Although Kevin Williamson was still involved in the show at the time.
Right.
But the first episode of season two, like, Joey's sister gives this impassioned speech about how important your second kiss is. And it's like, that's exactly why everyone hates Dawson's Creek, Joey's sister. But
wait, why?
Like, that really, like, just the whole, like,
too hokey.
It gets this, yeah. The show has the reputation of being so overly schmaltzy.
Mm-hmm.
And also the music. I feel like the music selections in season two are a lot schmaltzier than season one.
Well, we're about to watch a really good episode of season two.
I'm excited.
It does get better as the show goes on. I think it gets better as I think they were smart, though, in season two to add two new characters.
Yeah.
Jack and Andy. And Andy. And I think that the more those characters develop.
Yeah.
And then Abby becomes more of a character, too.
Mm-hmm.
The better it gets. I like Jen. I like post-season one Jen a lot better. I think she gets better. I like Pacey better.
Mm-hmm.
And much like Cheers, right? And again, I'm sure he was aware of this, like, kind of a nod to it, right? It seems like the whole show's purpose is building to this will they, won't they, Sam and Diane.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, they kind of, you know, the creators of the show, the writers of the show, the actors, it's kind of like, okay, you thought that's what this show was about. It's totally not about these people's relationship. It's about something a lot, like,
right,
bigger or whatever. I feel weird saying that about Dawson's Creek and Cheers, but, yeah, so the whole first season, it seems like the whole show is about Joey and Dawson, will they, won't they? But it's kind of like, oh, no, that's not actually what this show is about at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to resolve itself really quickly.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to try to do a shorter episode this time.
I know, but it's just an hour. We should probably cut it.
Yeah, cut it.
Be done.
Sorry, everyone, for talking so long. We just love our jerky scraps.
We love scraps.
Scraps.
We love scraps.
We hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving. We've been talking to you a lot about all of our Thanksgiving joy and how it was heavily tied to television, and a lot of that television would not have been possible without our friend Netflix.
Right, which a lot of the shows that we were watching this Thanksgiving weekend were on Netflix streaming.
Right.
And as we've talked about in all of our episodes, there is a special deal for Netflix. They are one of our wonderful sponsors, and you can sign up for Netflix. In fact, you can do a 2-week trial membership for free. Go to bit.ly/blogflix. And sign up through that website. You'll get it 2 weeks for free. And then after that, I believe the streaming Netflix subscription is $7.99 a month. And
it's well worth it. Even just for the 2-week trial to watch as much Vampire Diaries and Cheers as you can.
Yeah. And then when you do it, you're also supporting independent netcasting like our show. So.
And the many other wonderful things you'll find on the
Fancy Pants
Gangsters Network. Netcast.
Network. Yes. So on that note, this has been Qualler.
I am Bridget.
And
our opinions are valid.